Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Say this out loud with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will not be the same. In Jesus' name, every time I go to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life gets stronger and stronger. Amen. If you can, give the Lord a big shout. Amen? Amen. Well, open your Bible with me today to Matthew chapter 5. Let's get right into the teaching. Let's get right into the Word of God. Matthew chapter 5. I'm talking about how to conquer or how to deal with grief. It's on the screen for us. How to deal or how to conquer grief. And defining grief in the Bible, you'll see the word grief, but also you'll see the word sorrow for grief. So grief and sorrow are the same thing in the Bible. Grief is defined as some sorrow and mental stress. Grief is defined as sorrow and mental stress and suffering that comes with distress and loss. Let me read that to you again. That grief is sorrow, mental stress, suffering that comes with distress and loss. Now, the reason that I'm talking about this and the reason that I'm teaching on this is because the season that we're in, that we've been going through, a lot of us have suffered loss. I know those in our congregation who their father or husband has passed away with the coronavirus. There are friends of our congregation, there are friends of yours that have passed away, and some have lost a loved one during this season. That's grief. Some have lost a job. I've heard of others getting a better job, honestly, and making more money than they've ever made before, but I've heard of others in our congregation that they've lost their job, they're on unemployment. I think all of us have suffered some kind of sorrow or loss or grief during the season that we're in right now. And that's why I want to talk about this subject. I want to talk about this topic. It's important that we understand that grief is a part of life. Grief is a part of life. And you say, Pastor, how can you say that? Because life is broken. Life is broken. There's a curse on this world. Life is broken, and grief is a part of life, and we need to know how to process grief. If we don't know, I've been having the privilege, Kim and I, of being pastors for over 40 years, and I've done lots of funerals, and I've been through lots of ordeals with all kinds of different people, all kinds of grief they've gone through, and I've seen some people down through the years, they transition through the sorrow, they transition through the loss, but I've seen others that got stuck in that stage of loss and sorrow and grief. I've seen many that have gone through loss like you have and I have. I've seen many go through grief and sorrow and distress and mental stress. And by the way, we're getting ready to launch a brand new ministry at Church on the Rock for mental health. Yeah, we're excited about like Celebrate Recovery. We're getting ready to launch a ministry for mental health at Church on the Rock. That's another new ministry. Thank you very much, Church on the Rock. But I've seen other people, they couldn't transition. They couldn't process the grief. And if you don't know how to process the grief, you'll get stuck in that stage of life. Even though you continue to live, you're really not living. You're existing. And so I want to talk to you today about grief and how to conquer it, how to deal with it, how to process it, how to use it. Because in actuality, grief is a tool used correctly that will help us transition from every season, every chapter, every week, every day, every year of our life. Grief is to be, when it's used in the positive sense, it's used to take us and transition us through every tragedy, every heartache, every hurt. I remember years ago when my brother passed away. Now, we're talking decades ago. I was a teenager, and he was 6 years older. He's 6 years older than me. And unexpectedly, my brother died of a brain tumor. I didn't handle that grief very well. I was a teenager, and I didn't handle that grief well. I didn't understand how to process grief. No one taught me. No one shared with me as a teenager. Going to church, raised in church. But because I didn't know how to handle that grief, it didn't make me better. It made me bitter. Because I didn't understand how to respond to loss. And I didn't understand how to respond to a broken heart and sorrow and grief and mental stress because of distress, affliction, and tragedy. I didn't get better out of it. I got bitter. And I didn't transition. I was stuck in that stage, seriously, for a couple years. I was mad at the world. I was mad at the church. I was mad at the preacher. I was mad at God. I didn't transition very well. I didn't use grief as a tool to transition from heartache to heartache, from brokenness to brokenness, from hurt to hurt. And people who don't know how to do that, you know them, they never process. They never make progress. They never go forward. They never move ahead, ever. Because they get stuck in that stage and they don't know how to deal with grief. Life is tough, and grief is the tool that gets us through the transition and helps us to change. So what I want to do is I want to build, and I want to give you a few scriptures, and I'm going to go to the board, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 4. Matthew 5 and verse 4. And I want you to look at this with me. This is the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And these are attitudes that should be in our life as a Christian. And I want you to see what Jesus said. Blessed. Can you say that with me? Blessed. So there's blessings that come on people who know how to handle grief. Pastor, what? There are blessings that come on people who know how to handle loss, who know how to handle tragedy, who know how to handle sorrow and distress. Let's read on. He said, blessed and happy with a happiness that's produced by the experience of God's favor and conditioned by the revelation of his grace. Notice, get a revelation of his grace. Get a revelation of his favor and grace. And it comes out of a relationship, an experience with God, and a revelation of God's favor and God's grace. And look what it says. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God has a blessing of comfort for those who know how to mourn properly. I don't understand it, Pastor. I don't get it, Pastor. Mourning. Now listen very carefully. There's a difference between moaning and mourning. There's a difference between moaning. Those who moan and complain and are bitter and are angry, there's not a blessing. There's not favor. They get stuck. They don't know how to process grief. Instead of mourning, God expects us to mourn. But God doesn't want us to moan. You see, God wants us, if we don't talk to God about our hurts, we'll take it out on those that we love. If we don't know how to talk to God about mental stress and distress and affliction and tragedy and heartache and loss. Again, I know that many of you have lost a loved one. You've lost a job. You've lost a car, a house, retirement. You've lost friends through this. You've lost routine. You've lost stability. But I've got good news for you that if we will not get stuck here, but if we will process, if we'll keep moving forward, if we'll have a relationship with God and get a revelation of God's favor and God's blessing on those who know how to mourn and grieve properly, that there's a blessing for those people. And as your pastor who loves you and misses you, I want you to be blessed in this season. Yes, even over loss. I don't want you to get stuck. I don't want you to moan. God can't bless people who moan, but God will bless people who mourn. God can't bless people who get bitter, but God can bless people who decide, out of all of this, we're going to come out on the other side better. That's powerful. So that's the Beatitudes. And he says there's a blessing for the brokenhearted. There's a blessing for those who mourn, not moan. If I'm moaning and I'm growing, now here's what I know. Psychologists tell us that those who are slower to adapt become mentally ill. Those who are slower to adapt become mentally deranged, depressed, oppressed. But those who know how to adapt quickly, those who know how to bounce back quickly, are more healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically. And so it's important, how do we bounce back, Pastor? How do we grieve properly? How do we process? How do we use grief as a tool to transition? How do I keep from getting stuck in this stage? Well, I have to understand that God has given us the grieving process. You see, really, story. I'm a Bible teacher, so I tend to give more stories out of the Bible. Jesus, when his friend Lazarus died, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. The shortest verse. You want to memorize the verse? There's one right there. Two words, Jesus wept. Notice, Jesus was in grief over the loss of his friend Lazarus. So it's biblical and it's correct and it's right for us. He said there's a blessing, there's a comfort, there's a peace, there's a joy, there's a favor that comes on people who don't get stuck when they get hurt, who don't blame God, who don't blame the church, who don't blame people, but they realize that this is part of life. Life is broken. And so God, give us the grace to walk with the right kind of grief through every loss that we go through. Wow. So let me give you some steps, okay? Let me give you some things. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, here's how God comforts us. Here's how God shows his favor. Here's how God transforms us. Here's how God keeps us moving. And number one is draw close to God. Draw close to God. Now, let me give you some scriptures. Psalm 34, verse 18. Psalm 34, 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. We need to know that when we're grieving, God's right there with us. When we're hurting, God's right there with us. When we don't understand, God understands. When no one else can identify with our emotions or our feelings, God can. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and he saves those whose spirits have been crushed. You know, the Bible, not the Bible, but business leaders, there's a book out there called Crush It. And you know, if we're high achievers, we've been told that we're to crush it. But I'm talking about not that kind of crush. I'm talking about you and I having a broken heart, you and I mourning and grieving from mental stress and distress and affliction from the loss of something or someone. And notice, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, those that are grieving. And notice, he saves those whose spirits he saves, he delivers, he favors, he transforms those who've been crushed. Next verse, rest of that verse, I think. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 3. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with the what? Deepest grief. Do you see that there? With the deepest grief. So Jesus understands the grief, the sorrow, the hurt, the pain that you're going through today, that I might be going through today. And the key for his favor and transformation and to progress and not get stuck and how to handle grief and conquer it is draw close to God. It says that he was acquainted with deep grief. Isaiah 61, I'm going to come to the board. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The sovereign Lord has filled me with his spirit. He's chosen me. He sent me to bring good news. He sent me to bring good news. And that's what I'm teaching this weekend to the poor. To heal what? Those who are grieving. To heal the brokenhearted. To announce release to captives and freedom. Helping people find freedom in those who are in prison. Next verse. He has sent me to proclaim that the time has come when the Lord will save his people and defeat their enemies. He sent me to comfort who? Not those who are moaning, not those who are bitter, not those who are angry, not those who are, you know, a victim mentality, not those who are don't know how to process grief. They don't know how to have on the positive grief. They're focusing on the negative grief and they're moaning. But notice those who are mourning, like you and me over loss. Notice it says he will comfort everyone who mourns. Next verse, verse 3, to give them who mourn in Zion. That's a type of the church. What does he want to give us today? Joy. Really, Pastor? I don't think I was ever going to get back the joy, the peace, the job, the friend, the loved one, the family, the car, the boat, the truck, the house, the retire. I thought it was all over. Not if you've got God. Not if you've got God. It's never over. It's never over. Your best is yet to come. And notice he said, I'll give you joy of gladness instead of what? Grief. I'll give you joy instead of grief. It really breaks my heart as a pastor, as I pastor people down through the years that can't get over a loss of a husband or a wife or a mother or father or a baby or the loss of a job, or they went into business with another Christian and they lost their life savings and they can't get over it and they left the church and they backslid. And if you talk to them in Walmart, they're still grieving. They're still in sorrow. They're still in mental anguish. Actually, they're mentally ill. They're not sound well. They're not healthy mentally, spiritually, or physically. That grieves me to see that. When God says that if we'll draw close to him, that's point number one. When we'll draw close to him, instead of the grief, he wants to give us joy. Say joy three times. Joy, joy, joy. That he gives joy instead of sorrow. They'll be like trees that the Lord himself has planted. That's stability. That's fruitfulness. They will all do what is right, and God will be praised for what he has done. Amazing, isn't it? Point number two. Point number two is you need a small group. What's the process? What's the plan? What's the strategy, Pastor? I lost my father. I lost my mother. I lost my job. I lost my house. I lost my friends. I lost peace of mind. Pastor, I've gained weight. Pastor, I've taken on wrong habits during the season. I'm more depressed. I'm more discouraged. I'm more hopeless. I can't see the future. I felt like those who were going to be my friends, they've left me. I'm isolated. I'm quarantined. I feel all alone. Pastor, what am I going to do? Number one, draw close to God every day. And here's what I want you to do. Tonight when you put your head on the pillow, ask yourself, am I closer to God tonight more than I was this morning? Ask yourself, tonight when you put your head on the pillow, before you take your last little wink and you go to sleep, ask yourself, am I closer to God tonight than I was when I got out of bed this morning? Number two, you need a small group. You know, right now when Church on the Rock is digital, and we're thanking God for you and connection. And when there's isolation, frequency needs to increase. We need to get together more than ever before. How can we do that? We can't do that with social distancing. So we do that through social media. And we use the technology that God has given to us to build the church, grow the church, proclaim the gospel, and reach the unreached. But we all need a small group. And if you're watching this weekend, wherever you're at, in this state, the states, nations, or islands, I encourage you to join a small group. But Pastor, you know, I'm way over here. I'm across the sea. I'm across the ocean. You can join a small group at Church on the Rock. You can start one right there where you're at. Become a small group leader at Church on the Rock. You can get in the chat room. You can build relationships. You can go through Growth Track. You can become a member of this church right now, starting today, as you take the next step. But we need a small group. We're healthier together. We're healthier together. And look at the scripture. Rejoice, rejoice with those who rejoice. And look, not moan, not get bitter, not get mad, not get angry, but mourn. Blessed are not those who moan, but blessed are those who mourn. So it's so important that we understand that. Not moan, but mourn. It's so important. There are some things in life that will never get over. I was talking to someone the other day. They went through a loss, and I said to them, you're probably never going to get over it, but God will help you get through it. God will help you get through it. So rejoice with those who rejoice. And look at this, mourn. This is the body of Christ. Mourn with those who what? Are mourning. We need people that we can identify with us and we with them. We need people who've gone through what we're going through, and they receive the comfort and the blessing, and they're giving us the comfort and the blessing. We need people that will add to us, that will encourage us, that will empower us. Iron sharpens iron. We need to be in a small group. That's huge if we're going to process grief correctly and not get stuck in this stage, but keep moving forward and making progress. And that's what I want for you. Number three is use grief to help me grow. I'm going to go to the board. I love this one. Use grief to help me grow. Proverbs 20. Can we put it there, guys? Look at this. Say it with me at home, would you? Sometimes, come on, would you say it with me, please? This is powerful. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Oh my goodness. Can we look at that one more time? You see, we use grief to grow us. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Let's use this time right now that's tough, it's difficult, it's a crisis, it's no fun, it stinks, it's yuck, but let's take this time not to get bitter, but to get better. And instead of the obstacles, look at the opportunities. And instead of a stumbling block, use it as a stepping stone. Instead of focusing on impossibilities, let's focus on possibilities. It is possible that you and I can come out of this better. It is possible that you and I can come out of this with more and not less. It is possible that you can get healed. It is possible that God can restore everything the enemy has stolen from you. A story in the Bible of David, y'all remember in the Old Testament, and he was out fighting his battle with his men, and what happened? The enemy came in, took their wives, their children, all their stuff, and their spoil. David comes back in, and everybody blames him. They're not grieving properly. They're grieving negatively. They're bitter, and they're blaming him, and they're going to get stuck right there. But David does something different. He doesn't blame his army. He doesn't blame God. He doesn't even blame himself. The Bible says he repented and encouraged himself in the Lord. And when he encouraged himself in the Lord, see, he used that to build character. When he encouraged himself in the Lord, God gave him a strategy. And God said, here's what you do. And if you do it, you'll recover all they stole plus their spoil. Is it possible that you could pay off your house, your car, that note, that credit card during this season? I think so. Is it possible you could come out not just with your health, better stamina, better strength? Is it possible, even though we can't meet physically, but we're meeting digitally, is it possible for Church on the Rock to grow every weekend, every day? Yes. Is it possible that we can actually pay our ministry off this year, start new ministries, and expand our ministry, and reach more people than in the history of 36? It is possible. So you use grief to grow. Wow, I like that. And then number four, this is the last one, is always hold on to hope when you're in grief. Always hold on. Somebody said that hope is like a rope. Tie a knot in it and hang on. Wow. It's so important. It's so important that you and I don't lose hope. It's so important that you and I stay positive. It's so important that we have that no complaining challenge going on past 40 days. It's so important that we don't allow ourselves to stay negative, because negativity robs me of possibilities. It's so important. If you've got hope, you've got strength. If you've got hope, you've got a future. So in that time of loss of a loved one, as the team comes out, of a friend, of a job, of something or someone, in that time of loss, don't get stuck in that stage by responding with the wrong kind of grief. Instead of mourning, we're moaning. And God said there's a blessing, there's favor on those who know how to mourn biblically. And how do we do that? Number one, if we go back there just for a second, guys, what was number one? It was draw close to God. Number two, what was it? It was you need a small group at Church on the Rock. Number three, what was it? Use grief to help me grow. And number four, always hold on to hope while in grief. And the scripture is Romans 8:28. I'm not going to read all of that. Many of you know what it is, but it simply says, And we know that all things work together for good. Watch this now. To those who love God. Do you love God today? Those who are called according to His purpose. That's our mission at Church on the Rock. That's what we're doing every day, not just on the weekends. We're leading people to a God who's for them, and we're letting them know God has a purpose for their life. Everything doesn't turn out for the good for those who don't love God. I'll say it again. Everything does not turn out good for those who don't love God. Everything does not turn out good for those who don't want to know the will of God, do the will of God. But for those who do, God will turn it around for your good. Hold on to that hope. We may not understand what's going on. We may not understand why it's going on. We may not like it, and we don't. We may not know when it's going to end, and we don't. We may not know the future, and we really don't. But we know the one who does. But if we'll hold on to hope, knowing that on the other side of this, it's going to be better. On the other side of this, God's going to take all the bad, turn it into good. I want to share one more scripture. I'm going to go to the board. Revelation 21, verse 4. This is hope. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death. Watch this. No more grief. No more mourning. No more sorrow, no more stress, no more anxiety. He said He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. What's He talking about? Heaven. He's talking about heaven. You know, I'm so excited. I have a hope that one day, and one day soon, my father's in heaven, I'm going to see him again. My mother's in heaven, I'm going to see her again. My brother is in heaven, I'm going to see him again. My sister is in heaven. I have this hope, blessed hope, I'm going to see her again. My grandmother, who held me as a baby and prayed in the spirit, walking me all around the farm in southern Iowa, I have a hope, I'm going to see her again. There will come a day in our future when we're in heaven, there is no more grief. But until that day, there will be grief and there will be sorrow, because we're in a broken world. My question for you today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have this hope? Have you given your life to God? If not, I want to lead you in a prayer right now. If you don't know God and you want to know God, if you say, Pastor, I've been stuck. I've been suffering the loss of my wife or my husband, my mother, my father, my baby, my teenager, my sister, my brother. The loss of my church, the loss of, that's for some pastor. The loss of my job, my career. And I get it today, Pastor, I've got to give it to God. Do you remember what I said in this message today? if you don't express it to God, if you don't tell God, if you don't talk to God about your brokenness and your grief and your hurt, then you'll take it out on those you love the most. If we don't talk it out, we'll take it out. I encourage you today, express your hurt to God. Express the loss. Express the sorrow. Express the pain. Give it all to Him. Repent. Change your mind. I want to live a new life. Give your life to God. If that's you, I want to lead you in prayer right now. You don't know the Lord. It'd be a privilege to lead you to God today. Or you know the Lord, and you know there's some issues you need to get right with God. Pray this prayer with me. Say it with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I repent. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me, and He rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Take my life, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and help me to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.